I just wanted to introduce our speaker today. Some of you haven't been to this church before. The Reverend Dr. Ward Susan Bach is with us again, and he's a Greenville person, so he knows more about Greenville than about anybody I know and knows almost everyone here. He taught in various schools around the state of Illinois and in Michigan and other places through the years. He was married to Norma. They have two daughters and a son, and lots of grandchildren. But Ward taught in the comm department at Greenville University, and I was so happy to have him there for 17 years. And anytime we call, he always says yes. So I just want to make sure before he comes up that you all knew who was speaking to you today. Thank you for today's service so far. It's beautiful.
Well, I'm sorry to have to be handicapped here. I'm hoping to get hip surgery. I don't even see the surgeon until November, so who knows when that will be. But I'm happy to be here. This is not the first time I've been here. Like Veronica said, I feel at home in this place. I know you people, and so happy to be here this morning. Well, I want to share a few thoughts on Independence Day, and I'm looking at Psalm 33, verses 12 to 19. I'll read that for you this morning. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all who consider everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. Well, on Tuesday, we celebrate the 247th anniversary of the United States. That's a long time. I think we are the longest serving democracy. I want to share with you some thoughts about our founding fathers and our heritage. It was founded by pious pilgrims and Puritans who came here for religious freedom. Two of the greatest religious revivals in history were called the First and Second Great Awakening. I don't know if you're familiar with that. The first one involved the Wesleys and the Methodist movement, but it influenced Baptists and everybody else too, you know. It wasn't just Methodists, but it happened about the time of the Revolution in the 1700s. A few years later, in the early 1800s, there was what they call the Second Great Awakening. And I don't know if you're acquainted with that, and it involved people like Francis Asbury, and the church that I pastor happened to be Mount Gilead Church, came out of that Second Great Awakening. The Cumberland Presbyterian Church was formed from that. But anyway, and it has, those great awakenings have affected all of our churches. It brought us back closer to God. Now, who were these people, the founders of our nation? Who were these people? Well, Reverend John Witherspoon was a Presbyterian minister, and he signed the Declaration of Independence, and he was a fine Christian man. There were many others that were believers. Now, not all of those who signed the Declaration of Independence were what we would maybe call born-again believers, but most of them were God-fearing people. Some were deists, which thought that God had created the earth and kind of disappeared, you know, and wasn't around. But they were people, at least, who believed in God, even if they didn't believe exactly like we do. So, 247 years ago, they got together and they prepared this Declaration of Independence that we know about. Do you know anything about what these people paid for the price they paid for it? It said that five were captured and tortured by the British before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned to the ground. 2 lost their sons in the war. 1 had 2 sons captured. 9 fought and died from wounds and the hardships of the war. Carter Braxton was a Virginia wealthy planter and trader. He saw his ships swept from the seas by the British Navy. He sold his home to pay his debts and died in rags. Thomas McKean was so hounded by the British that he was forced to move his family almost constantly. He served in Congress without pay, and he died a very poor man. Thomas Nelson's home was seized by the British at the Battle of Yorktown and used as a command post. He urged General George Washington to open fire on it. The home was destroyed, and Nelson died bankrupt. Now, that's a little bit different than today, isn't it? Seems like today many of our leaders are getting rich on being in leadership. It's sad to have to report that, isn't it? Well, this gives you a little bit of our heritage. Someone has written an interesting parody on I Have a Dream. Now, I love Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream, and I always used it in my speech class, Veronica. When we were studying what? We were trying to study about persuasive speaking, and I'll tell you, Dr. King's speech is very persuasive, wonderful. Well, somebody else has written one that kind of resembles that. That's a little bit maybe different than that one, though. I have a dream that those who claim to be born again will declare themselves verbally and back it up with godly lifestyles. How's that sound? I have a dream that America's churches will one day put away their commitment to change man by changing his environment and replace it with emphasis upon the need for a heart transplant. I have a dream that Christians everywhere will truly love each other and thereby demonstrate that they really are the children of God. I have a dream that one day in our great nation, our boys and girls will be allowed to pray in our public schools again. And I agree with Dr. King when he agreed that children, black and white, could join hands and play together. By the way, I have two biracial grandchildren. And I love them just as much as the biological ones. Because we are all God's children, aren't we?
Amen.
We are all God's children. It doesn't matter the color of our skin. Or as Dr. King says, it's not the color of your skin, it's the content of your character.
Amen.
I like that statement. I have a dream that one day America will cease killing unborn children at the rate of over 1 million each year. That's sad, isn't it? I have a dream that revival will spread across the land and reach into every town, city, and hamlet. I have a dream that the Hall of Congress will ring with the sound of singing praises to God and the hushed tones of prayer. Wouldn't that be a change? But you know, with God, all things are possible. Don't give up. I have a dream that child pornography will be replaced with child protection and care. There are those who would like to make that available for everybody. Isn't it sad? And in our library system, the state of Illinois has passed a law that you cannot limit what books anybody sees, no matter what age they are. Folks, that's sad. Now, I'm not in favor of banning books, so don't. Or else they might try to ban the Bible in some places they would like to, you know. But I am in favor of making them age appropriate. And some books are not age appropriate for little children. But in our library system in Illinois, you have to have them all available no matter what age. Folks, we need to do something about that. Anyway. Well, I could go on and on with these I have a dreams, but I do have a dream that we will be a nation that turns its hearts toward God. We need to do that. So what is the answer? We're going to talk about some things this morning. The first principle is reverence for God. What made our nation great? Our nation became great because there was a reverence for God with the leaders. They had prayer in the Congress. By the way, there was a wonderful chaplain of the Senate years ago. His name was Peter Marshall. Have you read any of Peter Marshall's books? If you haven't, you ought to. A Man Called Peter is his life. There's the book written. The prayers of Peter Marshall are wonderful. He was a Presbyterian. Sorry, he wasn't a Baptist or a Methodist or whatever. No, it doesn't matter, but he was a godly man and he had great influence. And I've appreciated him a lot. You see, verse 18 says, "Behold, the eyes of the Lord is upon those that fear him." The fear of God is really important. Now, does that mean we're supposed to be scared to death of God? Well, not really, except we should have such fear of God that we want to serve him and do what's right. We should have a fear that when we sin, it hurts God and it hurts us. We should have that kind of fear. But really, the kind of fear we should have is a great respect and honor for God. And today we don't see that a lot. We see people who use God's name flippantly, in vain, and that's not good. Well, so the first principle is reverence for God. And not only should we have reverence for God, I don't want to call him just the man upstairs or the big guy. He's our Heavenly Father. The second principle is that in God we trust is dependence on God. As a nation, we should depend on God. Any major decision that's made should be made with prayer. I think some of our leaders do, and I'm not here to judge leaders today, whether they're Republican or Democrat or independent. I just want godly leaders that trust God and that call on God and ask God's help. We need that, don't we? It's important that we trust God. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. I think we should have a good military. And I'm thankful for those who have served. How many of you have ever served in the military? Just wave your hand. Yes. I'm thankful for you. And there have been many who've given their lives for that. And I think we need a good army. We need a good military. But that will not save America by itself. If America does not trust in God, that is the most important thing. And that's what's going to save America. It says, "The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine." Someone has written this, and I believe it's true. The U.S. is number one in the world in violent crime. I don't know where they get the statistic for that. Divorce, teen pregnancies, abortions, and illegal drug use. If they're not number one, it's very serious anyway. I don't have the statistics. Now, the most important value in our society seems to be fun and pleasure. Drunkenness has become a scourge in our society, along with sexual impurity and things that go along with that. We're in sad shape, aren't we, as a nation? Well, let me tell you a little story in closing here. There was a man named Steeplejack Miller, known as the human fly. Anybody ever heard of him? I had not until I read this. He went to Los Angeles where he announced that on a certain day he would climb up the face of one of their large department store buildings. Thousands gathered to watch him perform his seemingly impossible feat. Slowly and carefully he made his way upward, now clinging to a jutting brick next to a cornice, and so on. Up he climbed. Up and up he went, getting almost to the top. He was seen to feel to the right, then to the left, and then above his head, for something firm enough to support his weight. And soon he seemed to spy what looked like a gray bit of stone or discolored brick protruding from the smooth wall. He reached for it, but it was just beyond his reach. After several minutes appearing to be weighing his chances, he ventured everything and leaped for it. But before the horrified eyes of the spectators, he fell to the ground and smashed into the pavement. In his dead hand was found a spider's web, which he thought was a stone. If we hope in the wrong things, we will be like that man will be reaching for something that is not firm. Are you reaching for that which is firm? Jesus Christ is the firm foundation. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus, his blood and righteousness. I dare not the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So that's my challenge on this day as we celebrate the birth of our nation, its anniversary, its birthday. May we be the God people, God-fearing people who help turn our country around as we serve him and as we share with others. That the Lord bless you.